is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China. In these last days, information flowing from a significant leader in the Department of Defense, a general of the Air Force, in charge of Air Mobile Command, that means the refueling tankers in the event of conflict anywhere in the world, has written a document that we have, and no one has denied that it's not real, saying that war with China in 2025. In other words, the timeline is very short. Heretofore, we've had timelines extending, say, to 2027. I welcome George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, writing about this memo and the question of China launching a war or the question of China's adversaries launching a war. George, a very good evening to you. First, the predictions are always based on probabilities. Is there anything now that you see that suggests that China is in a war footing? 2025 is tomorrow. Good evening to you.
Good evening. War footing is a strange concept. Way back before World War II, when you had to gather the troops and everything else, it meant something. At this point, most nations are always in a war footing. The problem with what he said was that he said it. He is a four-star general, and he's not supposed to be making public proclamations. And he's a very good general, which leads me to conclude that somebody wanted him to say it and put it on screen. Now, why? Gets to the real issue. The Chinese are not eager for war in any way or form. One, they could lose it, and that would be catastrophic. Second, they're in great danger for the United States. The United States can close off their ports. They're an exporting country. They're to be in terrible shape. However, if we signaled that we knew that they were planning for war in 2 years, okay, and the fact is they hadn't even thought of that, it gives us a chance of putting pressure on them, saying we are therefore preparing for war in 2 years, without saying we are, and getting them to the table. We want to talk to them, and the Chinese want to talk to us. And it's very hard politically, internally, and externally to get that conversation going. I have a sneaking hunch, based on very little data, that this was designed by the United States to give the Chinese a feeling of threat and open the door for conversation.
Well, let's look at what that threat would be based upon. In these last weeks, Fumio Kishida, the Prime Minister of Japan, has doubled the budget expectation for armament in Japan, also spoken very forcefully in defense of Taiwan. Also, we have the General Secretary General of NATO traveling to Seoul to talk to the new president, President Yoon, about the nuclear umbrella and about including South Korea into NATO's thinkings of defense from the Russian-Chinese condominium declared as an adversary in the NATO meeting of June of 2022. And then we are told there are conversations, advanced conversations, perhaps ready to sign and build, of the U.S. returning permanently to the Philippines, to a base in Palawan Island off the South China Sea, and to something that looks like Clark Airfield or Subic Bay in Luzon. And then I add the two Virginia-class submarines, said now to be an ambition of Australia to buy from the U.S. fleet to maintain out of Perth. That's enough, George. It looks like we're preparing to fight. Is that something that Beijing is listening to? Would that bring them to the table?
Not really, because when you look at all these, we're preparing to talk about fighting. There are a lot of conversations. The Japanese Navy will now grow in 5 or 6 years. There's going to be a base in the Philippines, and that'll be several years. Most of the things that are being discussed are discussed later. They're not currently effective. That said, the United States is also preparing for a few years from now. So I note that it was said that it would be in 2 years, and we're building it up, but not really in the offensive capability. But the Chinese are worried about so many things, particularly their economy, areas of their country they want to get out, all sorts of things, that pressure from the outside could get them to a stable basis. Their relationship with Russia matters relatively little. China has a navy. It doesn't have it can't get it to there. And it also has a military. How can you send 50,000 or 500,000 troops to Ukraine and also feed them? So logistically, that's a non-starter. We're gesturing at each other. I think we're getting ready for talks on both sides. And if we get ready for those talks, we want to come in the way any good talk should be organized, as it was in the Bronx, looking really tough. And that's what we're doing.
Is Taiwan the negotiation, George? Are we talking about, in some fashion, coming to an accommodation with Beijing's ambition to regain Taiwan?
Well, no, we are not going to give Taiwan. But of course, Chinese don't want Taiwan. Taiwan doesn't give them anything. A couple of days headlines and then something they have to govern. As an island blocking Japan's access to the Pacific, there's too many ways around it. So it is the issue that has been there for 30 years and will be there for 30 years more. But the question of Philippines is really important because Marcos, Philippines, and Xi met and they had a long meeting that appeared to indicate that they would open up Philippines. And Philippines is a critical channel for the Chinese to reach the Pacific. And the U.S. has rushed in there with offers that were accepted, which will show us that in this region, sometimes posting danger is a good way to get what you want.
The Chinese are building silo after silo in northeast China. Is that a show for the negotiating table as well? They look to be building up a nuclear arsenal that is overwhelming.
Well, if they're preparing nuclear war, they better have a lot of redundancy because the United States is in a much better position to wage nuclear war. It's partly designed, I think, to scare us and partly to increase its nuclear capability because it was noted that Russia and the United States are nuclear powers. Neither will mess too much with the other because they are afraid of nuclear war. And the Chinese are now looking at this as, well, if I can get redundancy here, I'm going to be in a position to scare the Americans off.
Korea's Secretary General Stoltenberg was talking with the Yoon government about nuclear weapons and the threat by North Korea. For this negotiation, if that's where we're headed, is North Korea part of the conversation? China could turn off North Korea tonight, George. We know that. Energy and food, they'd either starve or in the dark or they'd surrender. So is China ready to give up Pyongyang and the tool that they've been using to provoke?
The problem is they can't do it overnight. It'll take a month. And during that time, it's not clear what the North Koreans are going to do. It's a very strange situation. Logically speaking, they're using the weapons to prevent being attacked. But they give enough indications that they're rational that they might want to use it. The Chinese are as afraid of the North Koreans as the Americans. So what really would be one of the first things that would happen in the event of the negotiation between the United States and China is we would together deal with that question. It wouldn't be Taiwan first. This problem is real. I can't formulate it well enough, which is that you've got a nuclear power that is in the hands of very strange and unpredictable people, and that scares the Chinese just as much.
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. He also makes a forecast for 1 year, for 10 years, for 100 years. And we're going to turn to the most recent forecast on his site. We've dealt with China looking for the negotiating table. When we come back, the U.S., Russia, India, the Middle East, Europe, and the future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.